Some of the stories that fascinate us the most are the ones that are beneath the surface. They're hard to see, but from an environmental perspective, they are often as important as the heart and lungs are to us. To illustrate this point, we'll talk with a scientist about her research, which focuses on eelgrass, a rooted plant which lives underneath the waters of San Francisco Bay. This is Your Wetlands.
Most people probably haven't seen it before, as a matter of fact. They would have to go out on a really extremely low tide in order to see it. It is rooted. It's not algae. So think of seaweed. That's another whole thing. Not rooted. Seagrass is a rooted plant. It's a flowering plant. So it actually does pollinate underwater and produce seeds. And that's important, actually, because we capitalize on that for restoration purposes. It is a plant that grows out within the shallow areas of the bay, but not so shallow that most people would have seen it before.
Dr. Catherine Boyer is an assistant professor of biology at San Francisco State University's Romberg Tiburon Center. I asked Dr. Boyer about the role of eelgrass in the environment.
In San Francisco Bay, we don't know a lot about that. There's been very little study, actually, of eelgrass in San Francisco Bay, which makes it nice for us who are here trying to learn something about this habitat. To be in an urban area where there's so little known about a particular habitat is a very unusual thing, and it means that we can ask all sorts of interesting questions. In other places, it's known to be important in providing a buffering, a baffling of the waters that allow sediment particles to fall out, so it can clear the water. When you come up on an eelgrass bed here in San Francisco Bay at a low enough tide, you actually do see a calming of the water. So we think that that's probably going on here as well, where the grass is moving in the water. It's actually slowing that water down when it's moving across it and allowing fine particles to drop out. So it probably does clear the water within the eelgrass bed area. But I think probably the most important thing we know it does in San Francisco Bay is provide habitat. And it's a very important habitat for a whole number of different species, including ones that are commercially important. And it's home to all sorts of small crustacean invertebrates, little shrimp-like animals, amphipods and isopods that are food for higher trophic levels. So think salmon moving through the bay. And in fact, we have some new projects in the bay right now to try to look at the habitat value of eelgrass for salmon smolts. So when they're coming back down and about to leave and go out to the ocean, and they're small and they need a place to hide and a place to get something to eat and to grow up a little bit before they move out into the ocean, the eelgrass beds are probably providing them that to a certain degree now. If we could get more eelgrass in the bay, we might be able to enhance that service. I would say the habitat value is probably what is the most important thing we think we're getting from eelgrass in the bay.
Is it out there in large areas?
In San Francisco Bay, we know now from a survey that was done in 2003 that we have about 3,000 acres, which is an order of magnitude more than we thought we had 10 years before that. That's partly due to the fact that the technology for detecting it increased in that time. In addition, we actually think that water quality has improved to the degree that we might be getting additional areas of eelgrass that we wouldn't have had 10, 20 years ago. So we have about 3,000 acres in the bay. About half of that is between Point San Pablo and Point Pinole, one big giant bed. And the other beds, for the most part, are, you know, the largest maybe 300 acres, and everything else could be down to less than an acre in the smallest case. So they vary widely in where they're found and their size and what depth they're found at and how dense they are and what animals they support in our preliminary studies of that. So what we've learned so far about in just going out and trying to say, what do we have out here, is that every bed is different in its size and its shape and what it supports. And that has made figuring out how to do restoration also an interesting question, because we don't really know what we're aiming for. We don't know how dense a bed should be. We don't know how big, and unless we can go out to these other sites and say, well, what are they like?
Are there other areas where eelgrass exists that you can compare the bay to?
There are. Eelgrass is actually quite a common seagrass as far as seagrasses go. It's found from Canada all the way down to Baja. It is common in Humboldt Bay and Tomales Bay and Bodega Bay. So there are other areas nearby even that we can go and take a look and see what's there. But those systems are all so very different from San Francisco Bay in terms of their size and how influenced they are by urban activities. For instance, compare Bodega to here, it's like apples and oranges. So it's hard to say much about a bed at Bodega Bay compared to a bed here.
The 3,000 acres, do you have any idea of how that might compare historically?
We don't have a good handle on that. In fact, we really have no idea how much was here historically. it's thought that there would have been a lot more acreage in the times before the gold rush years. We know that there was a tremendous amount of sediment that came down into the estuary through the hydraulic mining that was going on during the gold rush years. And we know that whole marshes built during that time. And so those areas where those marshes built would have been those shallow subtidal areas where we would have had eelgrass at that time. So we really don't know, but we suspect that there were much larger acreages of eelgrass in the past.
You mentioned restoration. Are you trying to increase the habitat for eelgrass and restore increasing acreages of it?
Yes, we are. We have several sites now that we are doing experimental restoration work in, where we're comparing different techniques that have been used in other regions. We're trying to figure out what works in San Francisco Bay, and does that work at all sites we try it at? So we're trying to figure out if there are one or more techniques that would be useful for the many areas that we might have available to us. And we found this one seeding technique to work particularly well. We can actually collect the flowers that have the seeds that are almost mature on them, put those flowers into mesh bags, and buoy them over locations where we want the seeds to drop out as they mature. And those seeds drop, and then we get seedlings coming up, and we've got two about half-acre beds that we've developed in the last 2 years using that method. And we're following those now, and they're spreading, and they're really starting to look like real eelgrass beds. And it's pretty exciting to think that we can use this technique, because it's pretty easy to do. It's something that we can use community volunteers to do, and we have. And it's a demonstration that we're able to increase the acreage of eelgrass in the bay.
You mentioned eelgrass is hard to see. You can't really see it all that well. But can you give us a picture of what an eelgrass bed might look like?
Well, if you could get out on a very low tide in the summer, you'll see an expanse of green that's exposed. It just looks like a long grass, you know, up to a meter long, and it's just splayed out on the sand at that particular time when it's fully exposed. If you can see it with a little bit more water on it, it's really cool, because then you can see the blades moving around in the water, and you might see pipefish in it. You might see the amphipods crawling up and down. It's really neat to see. You can see the fish moving through bat rays. You know, we see lots of bat rays in these eelgrass beds.
It's a wonderful image to think about these blades of grass moving in the water and thinking about sediment coming in, providing habitat.
We're learning more and more about it, and we hope that partly through these efforts that we've made so far to try to get community involved in our restoration projects, that more people will be aware that it's there and they'll support doing more restoration of this species and the habitat that it provides.
We hope you've enjoyed this story, which underscores the importance of basic research and why it is so important to study what lies beneath the surface. If you'd like to participate in an eel bed restoration project or have more questions about eelgrass, we have a link to Dr. Boyer's website from our website, yourwetlands.org. My thanks to Dr. Catherine Boyer. Your Wetlands is a project of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture. To learn more about the joint venture, you can visit sfbayjv.org. And we're supported by grants from the California Coastal Conservancy and PG&E. If you have questions or comments for us, our email address is yourwetlands@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Jerry Kaye.